Hi, and welcome back to another episode of the Body Grievers Club. So for those of you who are listening along, we are going through our signature seven-step framework on how we have healed body image not only in our lives, but also in the lives of our clients. So step number one of our seven-step framework, we are going to be talking about what building awareness and how to begin building awareness around body image distress looks like. And we're also going to be talking about how to begin to reassess your self-talk. Before we begin, I want to remind everybody that the doors for my signature Body Grievers membership are officially open. We are doing something so different this time that we've never done before. One of the things that I get asked all of the time is, would you ever host an in-person Body Grievers retreat? And coming home from Costa Rica really showed me that it's so needed, because there were so many people who were activated when we were in Costa Rica. And had I had the opportunity to coach them, had I had the opportunity to walk with them before we got to Costa Rica, we might have avoided some really unnecessary struggles. So if you saw us go to Costa Rica and thought, that sounds amazing, I wish I could have gone, but you were scared that you might have been activated or maybe experienced some body image distress, if you are somebody who is just continually getting stuck when it comes to body grief, and you have watched our lives, you are watching our podcasts, and the stuff that we're teaching you is working and you're still stuck, you might need to find somebody like us to collaborate with you in your individual journey. All of the time, people will say, can you give us steps? Can you give us tips? And I don't like giving out tips because it's not a universal process. Healing is not a universal process. But I do believe that between Jana and I, we have really cultivated an environment of healing. And that is what the magic is of our Body Grievers membership. So all of the details for our Body Grievers membership, plus the retreat, are in the link in the show notes and in my bio. I am happy to hop on a call and answer any questions if you are seriously considering joining us for 2024. I would say that this offer is ideal for the person who is ready to leave dieting and their anti-fat bias in 2023. If you have tried to do it on your own and you are ready to make the emotional and financial investment into a high supportive container, I really want to encourage you to come and join us for the Body Grievers 2024 membership and Northeast retreat. These spots are limited because to host an intimate gathering in person, it's very important to me that it is a safe environment, and I can do that better with a small amount of people. So if you're interested, you can DM me and let me know that you're interested in the Body Grievers retreat and membership. We are looking for a select few. And also know that we have other options if it's truly not accessible for you. We have lots of free resources, including my podcast, my entire Instagram, my email list. We have so many different resources for you. This is not the only way to work with us. If you have a piece of paper, if you are a visual person like me, what I want you to do is I want you to take a piece of paper and I want you to write this down. When we explore body image distress, we say in our community, in our space, that there are four parts to experiencing the body distress. So I want you to imagine that you are digging up some soil, okay? That very first top layer of soil is your surface level thought. That is the thing that you're going to keep seeing and feeling and experiencing coming up. Underneath that is the underlying assumption, and underneath that is the core belief. The core belief work and the underlying assumption, those are the things that we really dig deep in to inside of our high level body image, body grievers program, because within Integrity, it's not wise for us to explore that with you. If we're not also working with you in a coaching capacity, we need to figure out what your safety is, what your resources are, what activates you. Do you have a care team? This is something you can also do on your own. But what we want to help you do is we want to help you build awareness. And before we even get to that surface level thought, we actually come to something first, which I have come to call the catalyst. So, Jana, can you explain a little bit of what the catalyst is?
So the catalyst is some sort of input that came in, some experience, some outside thing that happened kind of, you know, or it can be inside of us, a thought that happens, right? Or something that goes on, but something that kind of causes a reaction.
And you have this phrase of what you usually refer to when the catalyst happens.
So for me, it's this doesn't feel good. Something's happened.
Repeat that. Something happened.
Something has happened. This doesn't feel good. Like something's going on here for me. This feels distressful. Something's going on.
So when you experience that, this doesn't feel good. Something has happened. This doesn't feel good. This is what we call body distress. I've deemed the word body distress because I think that bad body image just doesn't do justice to what is actually happening. It doesn't encompass the entire experience. And so Jana and I, we are very similar, but we're also very different. And so what we've discovered as we have been trying to like peel back, how do we begin to explore body image with our clients? We realized there are two types of body distress that we both experience, but we don't always experience the same way. And the two ways is a physical sensation and a mental sensation. So Jana, can you give us an example of body distress in a physical sensation?
Yes, absolutely. And I experience both of them, but mostly I go with the physical first. Like that's mostly my experience. And that usually means like I feel something in my chest or like a heaviness in my stomach or brain fog. Or sometimes I see a lot of people who experience feeling tired, like tiredness. Mm. Like when I know I got enough sleep, I know I should be fine, but I feel tired. Sometimes it's that feeling and that physical sensation saying, oh, hey, we have an activation. Something's going on here.
I don't always experience it physically. And I just think that it comes down to how I process things. And I would say I really experience it more mentally. So for me, my mental sensation is when I experience what I call that oh shit moment. So I'll give you an example. In New Jersey over here, where it's fall and people are changing over their seasonal clothes. And you go to try on your seasonal clothes and your clothes don't fit. Oftentimes, that is when that oh shit moment comes up for me. Like this is bad. Now, let's go back to my soil analogy. Clothing not fitting would be that catalyst. That is the moment where it's like, this is a situation, but it is that surface level thought where it goes into panic, the oh shit. And what we want to do, what we think that building awareness does, is it creates opportunity for you to understand why is this oh shit moment happening? Why is the heaviness sitting in my body? Why am I feeling tired or foggy or disconnected? And I love that you had said that, Jana. But Jana, you say this thing all of the time that building awareness is the opportunity to do what? It's the opportunity for...
It's the opportunity to choose, right? It's just this opportunity of a choice. Like I can go down this same path. When I was in diet culture, diet mentality, all of the things controlling my body, it was like there was one lane, catalyst. And then it was like, I got to do something to change this. What's my plan, right? Instead, when we kind of do some of this work, we can kind of open this space of like, okay, this is here. Now I get some choices. Mm-hmm. I can go down that road. That is an option. I can go try to control my body. It didn't work in the past. It was very unsuccessful and very distressful, but I can do that. Or what other opportunities do I have here to kind of explore it. And one of the things that we want to talk about when we think about exploring is kind of short-term and long-term consequences. Mm-hmm. And that word can kind of be activating. So we could even say like outcomes.
Yeah.
Short-term and long-term outcomes. This is like the effects of my behavior. These are the effects of what I'm doing to myself. So Bree, would you mind sharing like some things like that are temporary effects and then like long-term effects?
Yeah. So should I use the example of like my clothes?
Yeah.
Not fitting?
Go for it.
So in the short term, if I get that oh shit feeling of my seasonal clothes didn't fit, and that moment hits of uh-oh. And my short-term solution is I want to disconnect from this. So what do? I just keep wearing the clothes. In the short term, I am avoiding maybe that long-term distress of trying to unpack why this is distressful. But in the short term, I'm wearing uncomfortable clothes and maybe I'm getting activated every single day. That every single day I'm putting on clothes that don't fit this current body and I am feeling, no pun intended, the weight of that distress. And then in the long term, I'm going to stay stuck in this situation. Now, let's use a different example of if I had chosen to say, okay, my body distress is activated and I'm going to choose to explore this right now. I am sacrificing temporary relief to explore this difficult body image exposure. But in the long term, I get to reimagine and manifest the future that I want to have. So for example, if I imagine that the relationship I want to have with my clothes is that I open my closet and I know that I have clothes that fit my body. And if they don't, that doesn't have a secondary meaning. There is no surface level thought, underlying thought, or core belief that it's, okay, these clothes don't fit. I need to get new clothes. We can't have that if we want to have temporary relief in the immediate of body image distress. What about you, Jenna? What do you experience?
So for me, when I have that moment, if I was going to use the same thing, trying on seasonal clothes, for me, it usually is this feeling of like, oh my gosh, I'm going to throw up. Like, this is really bad, right? Like, I'm panicking. I feel that panic. I feel that it just the short term for me, it disconnects me from myself. But in a weird way, then I would also always make a plan. I'm going to make a plan. How am I going to solve this? And it feels like I can do something. And it, like that action and like the little bit of hope, right? Like that's motivating. So when I look at the long term, I'm actually sacrificing that perceived control that I can make a plan. I can do something about this. I'm sacrificing that perceived control. And I'm really using that carefully, perceived, right? For longer term, because if I stay in that space long term, the effect is that I have self-hatred, resentment, like nothing actually moves. I just stay stuck. If in that moment I can choose something different, it does change that perceived control. I have to let go of some of that. That feels scary. But long term, there can be much more peace and calm, different feelings that are coming, different experiences.
I love this. And so, Jenna, you use these words a lot. So we'll use the word like body image stickiness or body image move. And when you have this relationship with your body, those are the two options, is you're either feeling the stickiness or you're moving. What I think we have done in the past is we have seen and experienced the stickiness and we go to that perceived control because we think it's going to actually serve us in some way. We think that it's going to help us.
It's going to work this time, right?
This time's going to be different. There is this dopamine hit every time we start a new diet of, I didn't have all the information. I have all the information I need right now. I didn't invest enough the last time. That you are on that precipice of something new and that you are going to have control over your discomfort. What I see this as is you're trying to protect yourself in the only way that you know how, and it's not going to work. Because if it would have worked, it would have worked already.
Yeah, absolutely.
I'll use this analogy of it's like taking a beach ball and putting it underwater. You can put it underwater, but what's going to happen? It's going to pop back up. So you can keep
saying, okay, this body image beach ball is coming up. I'm going to push it down.
And what's going to happen? It's going to
put itself up.
And then you're going to start seeing even more body image catalysts and surface level thought. You are going to start feeling activated all of the time. I am the queen of analogies. I often refer to body image distress moments like a pebble in your shoe. If I have a pebble in my shoe and I feel it and I'm like, oh, that was a sensation. That didn't feel great. That immediate sensation, probably not going to hurt me. But if I keep walking around with a pebble in my shoe, what's going to happen over time?
Oh, it's going to cause a sore and it's going to open up and it's going to be a blister, right?
We've now created a wound instead of a sensation.
Yeah.
Why do you think people avoid exploring the sensations? Like, why do you think when people experience that body image distress, or I mean, obviously it's human nature that as soon as we feel distress, we want to avoid it. But what do you think?
It's that we haven't been trained or taught how to do anything with it. Like, we've been trained to okay, this happens. This is the solution, right? Go try to control your body in some way. Mm. Change it. Change your body. Instead of like, this happens, where else can we go? Like, what is another option? We just don't have the information or the tools.
Mm. And this is where it comes down to choice, is you don't have to. Unlike diet culture, like, we're not telling you that you have to explore it. We are just letting you know, if you don't be surprised that this wound still keeps coming up.
Yep.
And absolutely. What I'll tell you in advance is that surface level issue is not even the thing that's making this issue stay alive, right? It's not about clothes mm-hmm. fitting. So if we were to take that analogy all the way through, we start building awareness of, okay, so the story I'm telling myself that if my seasonal clothes don't fit, why is this so bad? Well, the story underneath that is, I can't believe I've gotten bigger. That's that disbelief, that shock, that anxiety. And then the underlying assumption, the thought underneath that is, people are going to know that I failed. People are going to know that I'm a fraud, that all of my weight loss efforts have failed. And that's where the shame comes in. And so, again, our nervous system is trying to protect us from experiencing that shame in the only way that it knows how. But it can acknowledge that core belief. If we can dig into that thought of, and so what if people judge me? Why is that so bad? Why does that scare me so much? That's not what this podcast episode is. This episode is just getting you to highlight, first and foremost, what is the story that I'm telling myself? Where am I getting stuck? What's the sticky parts of my body image? And what's my choice for movement? Now, Jana, what are some ways that you begin to build awareness?
Well, the biggest thing that I think for building awareness is like recognizing something's going on. Like, okay, something's actually happening here. Something legitimate. Really roll that into validation. Like, yes, you have learned these things that are not working for you. And that's why you're having this reaction. Like, this is totally normal, right? This is totally a normal thing to have happen, you know, with this background of like, and it doesn't mean it's true, right? It doesn't mean that whatever I'm thinking or experiencing is true, but it's totally normal. This is a normal response. Yeah, if you're feeling this way or having this, yeah, there's a reason why.
Yeah, yeah. I would say for me, it's really acknowledging the story that's playing out, right? It's recognizing there's a story that's playing out here. Again, so it's that catalyst, that underlying assumption, then understanding what is the core belief. So before we can begin to investigate our triggers, why are these thoughts and feelings here? We need to figure out why we are feeling this way and what is it that we want to be feeling and how are we speaking to ourselves? What are the things that we are saying to ourselves that are not in alignment with our values? So this actually leads us right in to step number two. So our step number two is reassessing our self-talk. So Jana, tell us why this is step number two.
Reassessing our self-talk is because that's where this change can actually happen. That's where we can actually start to do something a little bit differently.
Yes. And I think it's also that if every time we open our closet,
and trying on new clothes is triggering for us. It's going to happen every time. It's never going to stop being distressful unless we begin to explore why this is triggering. Why does this story still exist?
Yeah, I think that that's what it is. It's that like the story and the experience is going to keep going and going and going unless we shift something inside of ourselves or our thoughts or our mind.
I think that there are two things that we can do to begin to shift that self-talk. For me, one of those shifts is finding the small, tangible win. So I want to give an example before I even get into this. But like, I think that healing our body image wounds can feel so impossible because for so many of us, we don't have experience of doing it. Like, we don't have a memory of like, oh, I've healed my body image and I know that this is possible. And so it's a lot like trying to think about like cleaning out your, you know, unfinished basement or your attic. And you know, there's so many boxes down there. There's so much to go through. Like, you don't know what's down there. You don't know what you need. You don't know what you're going to need support with in going through. And so what's left is that oftentimes I think my ADHD brain is like, I'm just going to take everything and dump it out and go through it. And that is a horrible plan. I don't recommend anybody. Whether you're organizing your basement or you're going through your body image, like that is always a bad. And so what I would say for Bull would be first thing we need to do is we need to find the small win. Maybe my only goal is to go into my basement and find my holiday decorations and just organize that bucket and go through that bucket. That is a small tangible win. Maybe my goal is not to figure out how to open my closet and love all of my clothes and love my body in it, but that when body image distress shows and rears its face, when I'm going through my closet, that I can have enough space to pause and say, here are those thoughts again that aren't serving me that I don't want to feel, see, or experience.
I love that. So the second thing that I think is important with that is muscle memory, right? Like when we talk about self-talk, I know that's a funny thing when we think about like something physical, but something mental, right? But just like we have muscle memory in our bodies, right? People, I saw it all the time. I worked in an assisted living for a long time. And these people who had kind of lost some of their brain capacity could sit down and play a concerto on the piano perfectly because of muscle memory. They had played it so many times when they were younger that it just kind of came out, right?
Mm.
Well, we have played muscle memory for body image in our minds and in our hearts and all the things so many times about like, when this happens, this is the place I go as to hatred or to punishment of myself or to blame of myself. Well, and now we're trying to carve a new path of muscle memory for how we handle body image self-talk. The hard part about this, the tricky part about this is that sometimes when we try to have a different kind of self-talk that is more kind or more compassionate, our systems can kind of resist that because it can seem like a lie or it can seem ingenuine and we can have a lot of distrust for that, right?
Can you give an example to that? What do you mean by that?
Oh, well, one of the things that I see a lot with clients is they want to go to like body love. I love my body. Our systems are going to reject that like you wouldn't believe, right? Like it is going to have some major pushback because it's trying to keep us safe. Mm. Our systems are trying to keep us safe.
But they're not doing a good job. Like it's like a fire alarm that's going off. We've talked about this in other episodes, but the fire alarm system isn't working. So it's the solution is not to then just not have a fire alarm. We just need to teach our brain and our body to work together of, hey, this is information. I know you're trying to protect me. We're going off of old information.
Yes, Bree, I love that. Yeah, that's like the old programming, the old information. But when you have new information, it's like we have this other bucket to pick from, right? Like there's another bucket there, but for so long, I don't know about for you, Brie, but there was no other bucket. There was one bucket, the bucket of what everybody in my life had told me, what magazines had told me, what TV had told me about my body. There was only that bucket. Let's see if there's another bucket, right? Can I walk in my closet and say, yeah, this sucks that I need to buy new clothes. I'm not really wanting to buy new clothes, but like, it doesn't mean anything about me.
And if it does, do I want to believe this story? Does this story align with how I want to feel about myself or somebody I love. And so let's end here on this thought of, if somebody is desiring to shift their self-talk, what are some ways that they can reality test whether or not the thoughts they are believing or saying align with how they want to speak to themselves?
Oh, I love this one. I love this one because this is one of my favorites, is asking them, if it was your best friend, what would they tell you? Would they be telling you the same thing? Right? And I'm like, and if they are, if you need new friends, right? But your very best friend who loves you, would they be saying this about you? If I looked down and had a triggering thought about my thighs, the size of my thighs, and would I say, oh my gosh, there's something wrong with you. You did something bad. You're bad. Nobody's going to want to be with you. Mm. Would my best friend say that? Or would my best friend be like, yeah, girl, I don't care about that. Like, let's go laugh and have some fun.
Do you say it to your best friend? Like, would you be like, yeah, girl, your thighs really make me not want to be your friend? You would not have a friend.
Exactly. Bree, do you want to share what yours is for reality testing?
Yeah. So again, because I'm a little bit more cerebral, so this question of, okay, does the language I'm using bring me closer or further to the values that I align with? Is the language that I'm using in the way that I speak to myself, if I am saying to myself, every time my seasonal clothes don't fit, that this is embarrassing and that people are going to judge me, is that thought aligned with my values? Does it bring me closer to the values I want to live by, or does it bring me further away? So that's another reality test you can do. And once we've mastered the skill of being able to build awareness, the next phase of our process is then assessing, how am I speaking to myself? And is the way that I'm speaking to myself going to bring about the change or the results that I want to see? And this is step two. So if you'd like to hear step two, I'm going to recommend you go to the next episode.